Oh my god, it has been so long. So long since I've recorded. I know I put my last episode out on Thursday, and I know you thought I was going to have one out on Friday, but let me tell you. I thought I was going to do a full day of real work, then I was going to come home and completely clean out the closet that I usually record in so it would be more comfy for me, and then do some editing and then record and still live my life, but it didn't work out that way. What actually happened was I got home on Friday after a full day of, you know, my day job, and started to clean out the closet, and then was taken over by a crippling bit of unmedicated depression. Just, whew, took it out of me for a couple days. Basically spent the entire weekend finishing the closet that I had started and trying to recover from laying in my bed and staring at the ceiling and really just wondering why I'm here at all. You know what I mean? But I live in America, and getting health care and medicine and insurance is increasingly difficult for literally everyone except for, like, the top 1%, so I'm just gonna live with it for now. But it is Monday, and I am back. Oh god, is it Monday? It's Tuesday. Oh my god, I missed Friday and Monday. Well, I can't record 3 chapters, but I'm gonna do my best to get as much recorded today as possible, get some stuff up, and hopefully I'll keep to a regular schedule, although I kinda like just recording 4 days a week. It gives me all of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hopefully not Monday again, but, you know, if it does, it does. I can't make this my full-time job, so I kind of got to look out for myself, but it doesn't matter. Today, we're going to be reading chapter 6. It's kind of exciting. I mean, I'm looking at the document right here, and it's just on my computer, and the little scroll bar, you know, where you scroll down to get to a different page, it's probably maybe a tenth of the way there, so we still have a long ways to go, but let's get to chapter 6. I've got nowhere to be. You're probably driving in your car or cleaning your house or, well, I don't know what you're doing, but hopefully it's a little better than what I'm doing, which is sitting in my closet and looking at how the floor in here doesn't match the floor in my bedroom and thinking about how many bugs are probably crawling around in here. Whatever. It doesn't matter. All right, chapter 6. See you in a second. Chapter 6, Picking Up the Pieces. Billy stirs to the sound of birds. The song comes from the broken window above his head, a pleasant result from a rather unpleasant encounter. He tries to move, but his right leg is pinned under Travis, who is now pressed against his chest. The man is snoring softly, and Billy suddenly realizes that Travis has nothing on but, and confirmed by a glance underneath the blankets, a pair of underwear. Billy is shocked and fights the coiling urge in his stomach to take a longer look. At this point, Travis wakes up, his hazel eyes open but glazed over from a deep sleep. "Hey," he grumbles, and morning breath threatens to burn the hair off of Billy's face, mere inches away. "Hey," Billy says, as casually as he could given their predicament. "Where are your clothes, Travis?" he asks suspiciously after the man manages to grasp onto reality. "Oh, sorry, I got hot during the night. I hope I didn't wake you up," Travis says casually, and he continues to shift against Billy and slowly move around, waking his body. "Your house, your rules," Billy laughs to try and cover up the discomfort of the situation. Travis yawns, and Billy has the passing thought that Travis got up, took off his clothes, and managed to get himself into the position he was in when he woke up. He clears the thought from his mind quickly. "I'm going to have to fix that window today," Travis says, and Billy is glad he is a bit more lucid and focused than he was the day before. He gets himself pushed up against the bed frame, and he has to train his eyes on the pillow to keep from staring at the man's impressive chest. "Oh," Billy says, scared at the mere thought of being left alone. Travis cocks his head at Billy, and his hands are on his hips in thought. He reaches down to a boot sticking halfway out from under the bed and fishes around in it, eventually pulling out a small pistol. "Do you know how to use a gun?" he asks. Billy nods. Being raised by his father had its benefits. Good. I hope it's not needed, Travis says, and puts the gun back where Billy could see it. Billy catches a glimpse of Travis in his briefs and accidentally makes an audible groaning sound, covers his mouth, and turns over to face the broken window in embarrassment. You okay, bud? Travis asks. Yeah, my leg just cramped up a little bit, Billy says through his fingers. You need me to help you stretch it? Travis asks. Suddenly, he's in Billy's field of view at the foot of the bed. No, I think I'm okay. I got it. You go on to the store, Billy says, turning over and hobbling to the bathroom. Travis shrugs, bewildered by his strange reaction, pulls some clothes on quickly, and sidles out the door, shooting the bathroom door a backward glance on his way out. In the bathroom, Billy lets out a huge sigh. He briefly considers just locking himself in there until the man returns, but decides to shower and clean up the best he can. He's excited to find he can now put weight on his leg. Not an even amount, but enough to walk steadily. Not quickly. As he steps out of the shower, he hears a vehicle pull up. He scrambles to dress and get the boot with a gun, and he's trying to stay out of view at the window all at the same time. Just as he's about to make a quick-ish dash to the bed, Travis's head pops up in the window frame. Billy jumps, and then laughs in relief. Did I scare you? Travis grins and Billy nods. Billy limps outside to see what's going on and laughs when he sees Travis pull an old-fashioned saw from the back seat of his car. The small blue car had a huge window sticking out of the trunk. It seemed to extend past the trunk all the way to the front seats. The only windows they had were the right width and the wrong height, or the right height and the wrong width. So, I think I'm going to have to do some cutting, he explains. He manages to lift an entire window out and onto the ground with one arm. Billy's at a loss, shrugs, and walks back to the house, just as Travis begins sawing at the wall. He quickly is grunting and sweating buckets, so Billy searches the kitchen for anything refreshing to drink. He finds dusty old Crystalite packets and tries to make some lemonade, hoping that Travis won't realize it's room temperature and a little bit powdery. When the sawing stops and what seems to be half the wall comes falling out onto the dirt, Billy sees Travis standing outside, shirt tied around his head, victoriously rolling the wood away. Here you go, Billy shouts, plopping down on the new raw edge of the wall and handing Travis something to drink. Thanks, I'm sweating like a whore in church. Travis grins wildly and Billy laughs. You're enjoying this a little bit, aren't you? Billy asks, and Travis nods as the drink spills onto his chest. When I was little, I used to build all sorts of stuff. I would take apart my toys and build new toys, and then my mom would get mad at me for breaking my toys. Travis looks into the glass almost wistfully before he starts measuring the window in the opening. Billy is happy he's getting his friend to open up, but he doesn't ask any more questions. I forgot to tell you, Travis yells from the other side of the building. What? Billy asks, watching Travis hunch over the other side of the car he couldn't see. I got you some stuff so you could be a little more comfy, Travis says, and pulls at least 10 bags into the house. He starts pulling pants and shirts and underwear from several of the bags. Here you go, Travis says, suddenly sheepish, handing Billy a pile of clothes that was about as big as all the clothes in his closet at home. Thanks, I was having kind of a hard time keeping your clothes on me, Billy says with a laugh. He takes all the things in a giant bundle, folding them neatly in piles according to type. They all look tiny compared to the clothes he'd been wearing. He quickly grabs a pair of jeans, a black t-shirt, and a pair of briefs and shuts himself in the bathroom. All the clothes fit about right, and Billy looks at himself in the mirror. He starts to assess his appearance, but realizes he was just lucky to be alive and had better things to worry about. He shakes his head and walks out of the room. He's feeling a bit more himself and walks a little taller, dressed like an adult in clothes that fit. Well, I had to guess at the sizes, but it looks like I did pretty good, Travis says, giving Billy a once-over. Thank you, Billy says as genuinely as he can. Travis smiles and hands him something else, a pile of books and a small, simple cell phone. I also got you these for when you're bored or something happens and I'm not here, Travis says. Billy is a bit touched. The fact that Travis would be so thoughtful makes tears spring to the back of his eyes, but he holds them back. Thank you again, Travis, Billy says. His voice is wavering. It's no problem. I just want you to be safe, Travis says. Billy can feel himself about to burst with a flurry of emotions. He feels the overwhelming urge to say something. Wait, Travis? Billy's voice cracks and he reaches out to grab the man's arm. Yeah? Travis turns to look at him. The smaller man cocks his head and his mouth opens, but nothing comes out for a minute. Nothing. Never mind, he finally says, letting go of Travis and turning to look at the books with feigned interest. Are you sure? Travis asks. He sounds disappointed. Yeah, Billy doesn't look at him, but he can feel the man looking at him. He picks up one of the books and pours all his attention into it, not even realizing before long that Travis had the new window installed. Billy looks up as Travis walks in front of the door. He kicks off his boots and starts rifling around in the fridge, pulling out odds and ends and throwing them in a pot of water. "Do you need any help?" Billy asks, testing the water to see if the awkwardness he'd caused had passed. "No, sir." Travis's tone is even. "Are you sure?" "Yeah." Travis's voice is clipped. Billy sits down at the table, getting to be annoyed at how stupid his emotions were and how they hurt his new friend's feelings. Soon, Travis hands him a bowl of soup and they eat in silence. By the time Billy finishes eating, he's so upset he gets up and moves around to the table to stand next to Travis. "Can I say something?" Billy frames it as a question, but just as Travis looks up at him, he continues. "I'm still a bit raw from what I've seen the last couple of days, so it's taken me a little bit to trust people and, more importantly, trust myself. I know I'm acting a little strangely, but it's just, I'm really thankful you came back for me. And sometimes those feelings get all mixed up in my head and I have to straighten them out, so if you need some space, I think I can go." "No," Travis says flatly, interrupting Billy and looking at him. "Okay, I just want you to know that there won't be any hard feelings if..." "There are no hard feelings, Billy. Honestly, I just haven't talked to anyone for so long. I think the both of us are going through it," Travis says, and his eyes are finally focusing back to reality. "Well, we probably should discuss a timeline. I'm squatting in your house, and I'm basically a stranger," Billy says slowly, cautiously. "It's no rush, Billy, I promise. It's just nice to have company. You let me know when you think it's safe to try and get out. I'll help you however I can," Travis says, acting a bit more himself, even more casual than normal. Billy really doubted that they were feeling the same emotions, but it was a start. Travis was his friend, a very new friend, but an honest person who helped him a lot, and also seemed to be getting something good out of this relationship. Billy walks back to the bed and curls up with his book. He's satisfied that Travis is just putting the finishing touches on the inside of the window, and so he gets back to his novella. Can you believe it? Me, an author, sitting here in this closet reading to you, and I leave you on such a cliffhanger. I'm kidding, it wasn't a cliffhanger, they're just hanging out. The first time I wrote this story, it was really kind of confusing because I didn't really pace it out very well. I don't know how well I paced it out this time, but I really didn't pace it out well the first time. I guess I'd give too much away if I really said anything, but suffice to say, I didn't add any time for the story to progress, and everything just felt really rushed, so I actually added in a couple of chapters here and there to make it seem like it had a little more sense why things were the way they were and why people felt the way they felt after this amount of time or that amount of time. It was a lot to think about. When I went back and edited it as an adult, as someone in college, finishing up college, and looking back on my relationships or the few that I've had, it kind of seems like maybe we all have this idea of how the perfect relationship starts or ends, or how our relationships with people start and end. Like when you're dating someone and you go on a first date, then a second date a week later, then a third date and a fourth date. But it doesn't really work out like that. When you make friends, you don't hang out with them one time and then a set amount of time later you hang out with them again. It's just a person by person basis. And I think writing this kind of helped me come to terms with the fact that the person I've been with myself for 6 years now, we moved in together after, unofficially after like 3 weeks, which was more him squatting in my dorm room and me going to classes while the summer term was in effect. But whatever, we kind of moved in together after 3 weeks, and 6 years later, here we are. I don't know, it kind of made me feel less weird in reading back on it now. I feel like you can kind of have these weird, does this person like me, do they not like me, do I like them kind of feelings really quickly. You know what I mean? I mean, for me, I feel like in an hour I can feel that way. But I guess everybody's different. I don't know. Just reading through it, it kind of feels more natural the more I read through it and the more I get back into their heads, even though my head is what created their heads, if that makes sense. I don't know if it does, but you get what I mean. Anyway, I'll stop talking. This episode got a little long, but maybe since it's only... What time is it? Ugh, it's already 10 o'clock at night and I have to be up for work in the morning. Maybe I can get another couple episodes in. Who knows? We'll see. I'm by myself this week, so I guess I'll get a lot done. Anyways, I guess I'll talk to you next time. Bye.